I'm never living that down.
Nope.
Romans chapter 10, verse 12 this morning. Cannot thank you all enough. I think I've started everything I've done by thanking you. And if I had seven more messages, I'd thank you for them too. I just thank you. Like brother said, food's been great. Fellowship's been fantastic. Preaching's been so-so, but we'll do our best. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Yeah, we really enjoyed the hotel, really enjoyed the gift baskets, everything y'all have given us. And I tell you what, there's something to waking up and looking out on the lake like that. That was beautiful. Romans chapter 10 and verse 12 says this: For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I have often heard it said there are two kinds of people. The people who like pickles, the people who don't. There are the people who enjoy peanut butter and people that don't. There are people that drive Jeeps and then there are people who don't drive Jeeps. We do that all the time, don't we? There's two kinds of people. Well, in life, there really is only two kinds of people. There's the Jew and the Gentile. We have talked at length as to the commission, the motivation. We have looked at the urgency in which the compulsion in which we are to go and give the gospel. And this morning, I would like to take the time to look at the direction in which we give the gospel, which is literally every direction. Do we go to the Jew? Yes. Do we go to the Gentile? Yes. Do we go north? Yes. South? Absolutely. East and west? You really got it. Every direction we ought to go and give the gospel. Verse 13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The direction is every direction. But the logistics is where we need to put in the work. We understand that it is ours to give the gospel. We know what the gospel is. Now we need to go to the people and give it to them. Well, the Bible says that all whom are elect, they will believe. Yes, but how can they believe if they are never given what to believe? If they are never taught what the Bible says, how can they believe it? And in order for them to believe it, someone must go and deliver it. Very simple, in verse 14, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And there's no restriction on whose ears we ought to give it to. We've known many great missionaries. I'm sure you guys know missionaries. We know missionaries. Some of us know the same missionaries. And they go out to foreign places. I think of the missionary that's out of our church right now, Frank James and his wife. Pray for her. She's still dealing with a lot of health issues. They think they kind of got it figured out. What? Now they need to figure out how to get it out of her. So continue to pray for that. Whether the doctors figured it out or not, I pray that the great physician takes it out of her. Because really, he's the best at it. Amen. But they went from Papua New Guinea to Australia. That's a culture shock. Sister James, she is great at writing, and she likes to tell stories of some of the things that they did over there in Papua New Guinea. And we went in this village and this happened and that was over there. Going from a place like America to the jungles It's a big culture shock.
We are so used to simple things. We're so used to taps that give us clean water. We're so used to just finding food everywhere we go. I mean, it's just something as simple as a gas station. How many gas stations do you think you've passed on the way here? Now, it's kind of rural around here, so maybe you didn't pass any. But if you drove through town like I did, gas station, gas station, gas station, gas station. There's everywhere. You want food? Pick a place. Right? You got a problem with your plumbing, your heating, your whatever? Go ahead and Google that and then just pick one out of the list with the highest ratings. Why? Because there's so many of them. We got it good here in America. But those people in foreign places that do not have what we have, their ears work just as well as ours do. They might not have the amenities and the wonderful things, but their hearts beat the same as ours. No matter where we are on earth. Now, what about that move from Papua New Guinea to Australia? Yeah, so they're just kind of getting to know how the Lord moved them and put them down there. Coming back to a more civilized, well, I hate using that word, because sometimes you get into places like that, you get to know people from around there, almost feels like we're the less civilized ones. But you get around places and people like that, and you go on down to Australia, and all of a sudden you're hooked into all this stuff again. You know what? They need the gospel too. They need to hear it. And again, that's what I've challenged you all weekend. It is not yours to get them to believe. You cannot make them to believe, but it is your responsibility to make sure they hear. Those ears need to hear.
It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter their background. What about prisons, man? You get an opportunity. They have them out on YouTube. If you're going to be wasting time on YouTube, you might as well make it worth something. Go listen to some of these prisoners who the Lord has saved, and they're giving their testimony. Prisoner testimonies. Oh, my life was this, and that took place, and I got busted for that, and now I'm here, and a preacher came into the jailhouse, and I wasn't going to go, and finally one day I went. Lord, save my life. Save my soul that day.
It's the people that the Lord has saved in just the most wildest places. They need to hear.
No, I get that, brother. The Lord can save just about anybody, and there's nobody beyond his reach. We absolutely get that, but man, some people are just too far gone. So that's us putting God in a box again. God's not limited by us. God's not limited by us. He's not restricted. Based on our inability or by our sin, there is no sin he can't wash by that blood.
Nothing. So we give him the gospel. The direction is everything.
The distance is as far as it takes. And you know what? It's more than just going into foreign nations and lands. It's doing it right here in our yards. Somebody told me one time they felt the Lord was calling them to be a missionary to the Native American people in their area. And they went out and they did it. I've had people say, well, I really feel compelled to reach out to these people from false religions because I was caught up in it. And they had one in particular that they were really had a broken heart for. So they would go looking for these people to give them the gospel.
And then you've got the garden variety people that should be like you and me, like everybody, who go out and give the gospel to anybody they can find. Why? Because how can you believe if you've never heard?
God has a perfect plan in salvation. He's got it all figured out. But you're part of that plan in explaining and teaching people the things of God. Faith comes by hearing. Whether they are from a pagan culture, whether they are from a sin-sick culture, whether they are from a culture that's completely different from ours, we need to give the gospel. We joke about Flint, but Flint has a particular kind of person down there. I mean, you look at that town has been beat up and abused by just about every person that could. You drive through that place and it looks like a bomb went off and it was left that way. You see those movies every now and then where a nuclear bomb would have gone off and they're going through all these busted up cities and everything's falling apart. That's what it looks like in a lot of places. Somebody asked, well, have they figured out the water? And the answer is no, they're not going to figure the water all the way out, because the problem is, in order to fix the water, you're going to have to clean out every pipe. But some of the pipes, they go to burned out houses. They go to houses that have collapsed. Nobody owns the property except for the land bank, and no one's going to buy the property. Between Detroit and Flint, you could go down there to a house auction, buy a house for a dollar. And that place will cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars to get to where you could even flip it. You go down there, you find people on the street, they are loaded with addictions, they are caught up in sins and just despicable things. They are on the wrong track. They need the gospel. Well, what do we need? Do we need a drug program? Do we need... I got the opportunity last week to meet with the guy in Genesee County that heads up the department for housing and drug abuse and addictions and homeless shelters and things like that. Had him in my office. Just having a good conversation with him. Talking to him about the challenges that he faces and the things like that. And he knows. He told me. He goes, this is a drop in the bucket. He goes, I could feed people. I could house people. I could do this. And it's not making a dent in the real problem. I said, I know. Because it's supposed to be our jobs. To go forward and teach them how to live. I don't agree with morality without God. You got to love the Lord, or else his rules ain't really going to work for you the way, because we won't be able to follow them. We're supposed to go preach the gospel. Salvation is the only way to really get out of addiction that way. Salvation is the only way to put together a broken home. Salvation is the only way for a busted up life like that to come together. And it is our necessity that we go and we preach. Well, shouldn't they know? That's a good question, right? Here in America, shouldn't people know what salvation is? A couple weeks ago, I Googled this. I Googled under Google AI, how can one, according to the Bible, be saved? Google will give you the gospel. Go ahead and play with that later on today. Google will give you the gospel. That you must understand that you are a sinner. You must repent of that sin and believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. Gave me three bullet points. I almost fell out of my chair. So shouldn't they know? No. Why would they? You've got the devil creating every bit of false religion he could possibly come up with for people to believe. And then on top of that, we've got these goofy entertainments. We've got colleges out there doing their best to get people to stay away from God, either promoting atheism on the television, in the movies, in the schoolhouses. They're putting people to shame for being believers. Of course, we can't expect them to already know. Even within our own churches, it is not good for us to expect that people already know. Well, wait a minute, brother. You're a pastor. Shouldn't that deeply concern you? It does. It concerns every pastor. Because many of the people who I've talked to about this have said this. They sit there because they're supposed to. They come because they're compelled to. Either because mom makes them, dad makes them. They're afraid grandma and grandpa might write them out of the will. So what do on a Sunday? We preach the gospel. What do on a Sunday afternoon? We preach the gospel. What do on a Wednesday? We preach the gospel. Well, why does the pastor keep preaching the gospel? We didn't have any visitors. Because we're supposed to preach the gospel. Because you never know. How many people you have the testimony that you thought you were saved? You go to a church, you're going to find some people who thought they were saved. That's why we preach the gospel. Because many of us know exactly what it's like to think we're saved, and then the Lord saves us, and we go, fantastic. Thank you, brother, for preaching that. Thank you for never giving it up. And of course, once you are saved, you love to hear the story. You don't just love to tell the story, you love to hear the story. It excites you, it riles you up. Oh, what a great God we serve. We cannot expect people to come by the gospel on their own. It's not how God designed it. We're to go. We are. And shouldn't we want to be a part? Shouldn't we want to be a part of that great gospel ministry? Not just in our neighborhoods, but going out to foreign lands, going out to areas even within our land that are without a preacher, without a church, that are without the gospel. Shouldn't we desire to do so? I'll even talk to some, you know, I share a barber with one of the largest Lutheran pastors in Frankenmuth. You guys ever been to Frankenmuth? There's a great big Lutheran church that you pass. It is massive. Me and the pastor of that church, we share the same barber, and we sometimes we fall into the same slots. And we get to talking. And he likes to talk about the history of his church. He likes to talk about the history of Martin Luther. And I finally one day I'm just talking, yeah, I go, yeah, but are you saved? He didn't like that question. I didn't mean it mean. It really came down to, what do you believe on salvation? Well, you know, the sacraments and this and the that, and if you do this and then. Go, do you believe that you're a sinner? Yeah. Do you believe that if you were to die in a sinful state, you'd go to hell? Yeah, absolutely. We started the Reformation, man. No, you don't have to tell me that. I proceeded on and gave him the gospel anyway, not to be mean, not to be competitive, but because I get concerned about the guy. Because if you ask me what I believe, I'm not going to sit there and tell you about the history of the Reformation. I'm going to give you the gospel because that's what I believe. We never take it for granted that people know. We never take it for granted that people have heard. We must give the gospel, not in anger, not in belittling ways, but in love. In love. When we give the gospel, it is the same to find somebody on the path to hell, and we reach down and we offer them that gospel as a loving hand. Not one to be jerked up and tossed around, not as we point our fingers down and laugh and tease and taunt, but in love. Do you believe this? Have you heard this? We've got some young people in our church. Every now and then I'll single them out. Just kind of walk up to them. You saved? Give them the gospel again. Every direction. Every creature. And as we looked at earlier in the weekend, every nation. Perhaps it is one of you who will be called into the mission field next, into a foreign land. And I like the look some of you boys just, some of you men just gave me. I called you boys. I'm sorry. I didn't even mean to be condescending. It's just for a long time that's, and now you're, some of you men gave me. Not me. No. Yeah, some of the other guys, not me. Oh, no, not me. Almost every missionary I've ever talked to did that. You know that? I don't meet too many missionaries who the first time being a missionary is brought up, they go, ooh, that's a great idea. I will go to the wilds of whatever country you got. You want me to go to some Asian country, to a language I don't speak, and a food I won't swallow? Yes, Lord. Very rarely does that happen. Which means what? If we're sitting here today and we go, yeah, not me. Don't do that. Don't do that. I heard somebody give the testimony one time. They were a missionary and they were saying this. They're saying, there was one place I didn't want to go. And they referenced Jonah. Remember Jonah? I'll serve you, Lord. I'll go over here. I'll go over there. I'll preach whatever you want. I need you to go to Nineveh. Not there, though. He said, you got to be careful having a Nineveh because that's typically where the Lord sends you. So there's a place I'd really rather like to not go, but I ain't going to tell you about it. I'm afraid. We need preachers. Not just behind the pulpit preachers, but those to stand out on the streets in foreign lands and in local places to proclaim the gospel. And some ladies, they sit there and they go, well, that's all well and good for the men. Maybe my husband will be called into the mission field. Maybe not. No, no, no. When it says preach, we're talking about proclaiming. There's women in your life. There's people in your life you need to give the gospel to. And if you are called to a foreign nation in a foreign land, you'll be surprised at how much work that you can do and are expected to do. Because there are people who need what's in your head. There are people who need what you've been taught faithfully as a member of this church. The Lord calls for preachers. We need them in the pulpits, in local places, in foreign places. We need them. The Bible says here, how can they hear? How can they believe if they've never heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And then it says this, verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? If I can get on some doctrine for a second here, I do not believe, and I know your pastors, but your pastor believes this too. I don't believe that you can just sit here right now, get the idea that what we really need five towns over is for another church, and you decide on your own, all by yourself, to get up, go over there, and do it. That's not the way it works. We've got, and I say that because there's people among the Baptist fellowship that we would normally fellowship with. They don't believe that anymore. Oh, you know what? I don't believe in church authority. I don't believe that I need to be beholden to anyone or anything. So I'm going to start a church. And where do they start a church? They start a church on in their living room on Facebook. That's their church. We'll turn on Facebook. I'll preach in front of my azaleas and give the gospel there. And that'll be our church. That's not how it works. And I'll just be brief and I'll give you why. If you had a doctor that was just really good at reading, would that be sufficient for you? Didn't go to school. Didn't go through a residency. No formal training whatsoever. Nobody in the medical field signs off on them. Would you continue to go see that doctor? They're just good at reading. How about this? What about a surgeon? A doctor, maybe. What about a surgeon? I sit there and I tell you, hey, listen, I watched 5 videos last night on an appendectomy. You need one, you give me a call. Anybody call me? No, you're not. How about this? Taxes. I know nothing about taxes, but I've got a YouTube account. So, I'll go out, I'll read up on taxes. Anybody here, you want me to file your taxes? I promise I'll watch the videos. I promise I'll learn how to do it. Anybody here comfortable with that? You would look at me and you'd say, no, sir. No, sir. So why then do we think that just because somebody is good at reading the Bible and they are good at reading the works of other men, that without being tested, without being trained, and without being signed off on by other people dedicated to the truth of the word, why would we think that it's okay for us to go out and start works on our own? A body's a body. We got billions of bodies on this planet. As you mess up because you're faking being a surgeon? Nah, we got billions more. You mess up with the word of God, you got real problems. You following me on this? We take one seriously, we really ought to take the other seriously too. We do not play at the Word of God. We do not play at His institution. So you must be sent. When we look at the biblical example, and I got into a debate with somebody last year about this. And they said this, they go, well, what's the big deal about being sent? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we've got to sit there and try these guys and test them, and that it's the church that sent them. And I go, ding, 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 ding. They were sent. They didn't went. They were sent. You look at the apostles. You look at the people that Paul was working with, Barnabas and Silas and John Mark. You look at them. What were they? They were sent. Amen. Sent by who? Their churches. Amen. And why does that matter?
Because they were taught, they were structured, and they are steadfast on what God had done. They are the ones who sign off. They are the ones who say, yes, go. When it comes down to missionaries, I think it's very important that when we support them or when we send them, we need to know who they are. Because I think we've all heard horror stories, haven't we?
They come in, they smile at you. They come in, they've got the boards out there and all this and over here and 5,000 people that and 12,000 people over here. This percentage Muslim and this percentage Catholic, and we need to get in there, and we go, amen, that's fantastic. And we look at their families and the cute pictures that they present, and then they go over there and they break everybody's hearts. You find out that they're not going to India, they're going to the Indianapolis 500. I think we ought to know them. I think we ought to be able to sign off on them. I think we ought to hold them to a certain standard, and missionaries ought to want to be held to a standard. And that standard is what? The one that God has given us. They must be sent. Churches need to be sending missionaries. Churches need to be supporting missionaries. And I praise the Lord for the amount of people I have seen support the missionaries we have. I love going by hearing and seeing some of the missionaries will support. I'll go down the list to see all the churches that support them, and I'll go, I know that one, and I know that one, and I know that one, and it's kind of cool. Probably a little vain to do it, but I go, I know them, and I know them. It's just encouraging to see all the support that our churches are sending missionaries. We ought to do that. Because I've known a lot of missionaries that give all out there. No thought for their food, no thought for their safety, no thought for their security, no thought for their retirement. And that's hard, isn't it? You ever see a missionary try to retire? No 401k in the ministry. There's no pension in the ministry. When they run, as we'll look at later, they run all. And so very often they run out. And it is good for us to support them. Not just with money, but with encouragement. We would write letters to them, send them notes, text them or call them if possible. We love you. We're praying for you. We're cheering for you. And they come back and they say, hey, listen, we need Bibles. We send them Bibles. Hey, listen, we're adding an addition onto the building because the Lord has blessed the work. And we send money or we send supplies. We do whatever it is that we've got to do to get them what they need. Why? Because the work they're doing is good. The work they're doing is necessary. We pray for them, so we support them with money. We support them with encouragement, and there's no better support than to pray for them. Do you pray for the missionaries your church supports on a regular basis? Do you encourage them? Do you lift them up before God and say, Lord, bless their work, bless their efforts, bless what they do today and where they go? We need to support them as best as we can. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And you know what? When I consider that, for a missionary in this time, not very beautiful feet. Now, I don't like feet. I'm more than happy for everyone to keep them covered up. But why? I don't like taking my shoes off and letting other people see my feet. But you look at that, they're walking around in sandals for miles. You ever go on vacation and you're walking a great distance and you've got your sandals or some open-toed shoes on or something like that? How are your feet at the end of the day? They're dirty, they're blistered, and they need to be soaked in the tub. But oh, how beautiful the feet are those that go. They get gnarled by bruises and calluses. That go door to door. That have so often had to shake dust off of them. Because people have rejected them. We ought to be a blessing to those that go. We ought to be an encouragement to them. And those are the people that go far. What about the people that go here? If we're sitting there and the pastor says, all right, I want you guys, we did this at our church. We got some tracts. And I told everybody the first night we got them. I said, what I want you to do is I want you to go back there. I want you to get at least one. Everybody walking out the door, grab one. You are to go hand that to somebody and give them the gospel. And do not bring it back home. Just go. One. Your pastor does that. You know what you can do to support the effort of going and preaching? You do exactly what he says. Hey, listen, this is what we ought to do as you're going about your day. Find someone, give them the gospel. You know what we do? We do that. Every pastor does things just a little bit differently. Whatever your pastor says to do, jump on it. No, but it's good for the rest of the church to do it, but I'm shy. I'm demure. I'm quiet. Well, then do it quiet. It's our responsibility. I've known some people, you know, the church will be doing something and they'll have a physical limitation to doing things. So they always try to find a modified way of doing it. We were building a fence one time up in front of the church. We had so many men who wanted to be a part of it, but physically they couldn't do it. You know what they did? They brought lawn chairs. And they sat out there with us. And one of them went out and got lunch when we ordered it. That was awesome. So they didn't do anything. I know, but it was the fellowship, the sweetness. And I'll be honest with you, every now and then you go from the work department to the wisdom department. And I love people in the wisdom department who, though they can't do the work, they can sit there and be the wisdom. They could be the guy that drives the car. They could be the person that, hey, pastor, whatever you want to do, I'm for it. We talk it up and we promote it and we push it. And this is what we're going to do. Why? Because this is the work we are called to do. And that is the Great Commission. Whatever we've got to do, we will do. And not just we will do, I will do. I'm not going to leave it just to everybody else. I will do it. And I will do it in the way that I know that I'm supposed to. And I will do it as fervently as I am supposed to. And as often as I am supposed to. The word must be spread. It must be spread around the top part of Michigan. Well, I don't know if you got to call it the top part. Top part of the mitten. Up to the Upper Peninsula, down to Flint, past Flint into Detroit, both coasts of the continental U.S. Hey, let's take it out to Hawaii. Someone drive it up to Alaska. You know what? I hear Canada did this. Canada's threatening to take away some of the websites that they share. I'm not going to go into detail. I don't know if you've heard this or not. We ought to thank them for that by giving them the gospel too. Did you know most of the things that we have in life around here, they come from China? We ought to thank them by giving them the gospel. What about Mexico? All those people jumping the border. Let's go down there and give them the gospel. They won't have to. What about the people who are already over here? Give them the gospel too. People need to hear. Every person needs to hear. And you've got the rest of your life to do it. You got the rest of your life to be busy about that. And once we get a hold of it, once we get into it, it is amazing fun. I liken having a heart that desires to give the gospel kind of like exercise. And hold on, just I know a little bit about it, but don't tune me out yet. When I'm out there walking and running, I feel good. Getting me there's the problem. You following me? I've got weights and exercise equipment in my basement. They are like toys. I love them once I get down there. I did a half marathon one time. I got to tell you because you wouldn't guess otherwise. I had so much fun doing that. But the idea of doing it now scares me.
I hope you're getting my point here. If you're not doing it, it's going to scare you to do it. When you start doing it, it's going to be the most fun you've ever had in your life. It's going to be the most rewarding thing. What about when they're slamming doors and telling me no and rejecting me out of hand? What about that? At first, it's going to be a bummer. And then you're going to find another person. And another one. And another one. And then you're going to see that first person again. And you go, hey, have you thought any about the last thing I said to you? And you're going to start loving people more. No, wait a minute. If they're being mean to me, what do you mean I'm going to love them more? I don't know how it works. It's just the way the Lord is. He makes you love them more. He gives you a kindness you didn't have before. He gives you a heart you didn't have before. And all of a sudden, you're tuned into the Holy Spirit. You're sharing His burden for lost souls. And now you're digging for them. But right now, at a low and relaxed pace, the idea of running scares you. And I'll even give you this for those of you that know, when you start going, the first few minutes, let's just use running as an illustration. First few minutes, you know what those are? Those are taxing minutes, aren't they? Your lungs are going, are we dying? Are we being chased? What's going on? Your heart is having a panic attack. What's going on? What's going on? Boom, 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 boom. And your head is throbbing and everything, and you say, stop, 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 stop. That's going to happen too. You'll be walking up to somebody, and then that it's in your head. Stop, 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 stop. Keep going. It gets easier. It's just you. If you can't tell you no, who can you tell no to? I practice. I've got four kids. I'm really good at saying the word no out loud. I, like many people, struggle to say no myself. I can say it out here. I have a hard time saying it in here. We need to get better at it. Stop, 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 stop. No. I'm going to keep going. So yeah, there will be that awkwardness. You know what we like to do to ourselves? I know I need to go. I know they need to hear. But man, that icky feeling, there's got to be something wrong with me that I feel this way. You're still a sinner, right? I know I am. Lord save me, I'm still a sinner. Didn't take away my fleshly desires. Didn't take away the old nature. Just gave me a new one. Every now and then that old nature is going to rear its head up. That's what's going on. Don't be intimidated by that. That's the old nature rearing its head up going, ah, no, no, no. Don't listen to them. People need to hear. People need preachers, proclaimers, gospel givers. It is what we are called to do. There is no greater lifestyle than to do it. And sure, at first, being that preacher, being that person who proclaims the gospel, it could give you fits inside. But God is good. And He will carry you through. When I was given a job one time at work, it was something that I was not used to doing. And I was scared a little bit. And my boss could see the apprehension on my face, and he raised his hand real fast. He said, whoa, no, I'm not making you do this by yourself. I'm going to do this with you. Oh, okay. All right. I feel much better. So if I make a mistake, he goes, I'm not going to let you make a mistake. If I forget what I'm doing, I'm going to be right there. God has called each and every one of us to be those proclaimers, to be those preachers of the gospel to every creature in every nation. But He's there with you. Whether you go to the wilds of some jungle, or you just go downtown, or you go to work, God is right there with you. You don't do it alone.
Let's stand.